This is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu class, November 14th. I think we were reading a summary of Bhav yesterday. Because we finished a chapter on Bhava Bhakti, now we're reading summary. We're in the middle of it. We're discussing the different ways to attain Bhava, and now we're discussing this is a review of course, attaining Bhava by mercy. To attain Bhava Bhakti by mercy alone is very rare, and it comes in three ways by receiving Krishna's mercy. A glance, a word, a feeling. Krishna, glances, some words, some feelings. And that's all anybody wants from anybody. We want some attention from our friends and lovers. Some glances, some words, some feelings, good vibrations. And that's all part of love, sambhog. Glancing, looking, speaking, feeling, exchanging feelings, expressing feelings. So one can attain bhava, although it's very rare. Prabhupada uses the analogy of receiving a college degree without going to college. That's pretty rare. And without even doing anything. Sometimes people write some great poetry or some novel or something, although they have no degree. And it's such a masterpiece of literature that they get recognized by Oxford University or by the entire world for their literary output. And they're awarded an honorary degree from Oxford. But they did something to attain it. In this case of bhava, one doesn't do anything. There's no precursor or no cause. Krishna just gives it. Although if we trace out the examples, usually there's some type of, appears there's some type of cause, but it's said that it's by mercy alone, and there's no precipitation or some cause of it. One is receiving Krishna's mercy by vachika, verbal blessings. And the darshan dan is the blessings when Krishna appears in person before the devotee. That's called darshan dan or aloka dan. And then there's sohardha. Sohardha means good heart, heartly wishes, your heartly blessings. Heartfelt spoken blessings appear in person, that's called hardha. So, when Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb of his mother Kayadu, he was in Narada Muni's ashram. And Narada Muni gave Hardha Sohardha Dan, Sohardha Prasad. He was simply wishing, oh, I hope this child comes out good, as all parents do. Of course, he's not the parent. He's a rishi. But he was hoping, I hope this child comes out a great devotee, pure devotee. And of course, he did. So he's an example for Prahlad Maharaj. And Mrigari the hunter is also another one who became advanced by the wishes of Narada. He was just had good feelings. So there's nine reliable symptoms of bhava, and we mentioned that one is akanda seva, which means that's another way of saying kalatvam. What is it that every moment be engaged in service, unbroken service, and patient, humble, pridelessness, hope for the mercy of Krishna, hoping to receive the mercy of Krishna to become advanced, intense eagerness to attain love, constant taste for Krishna's name, indifference to sense objects, addicted to glorifying Krishna's qualities, love to live in Krishna's dham. And these are the real symptoms and not the external symptoms. External symptoms that are not solid proof that one has attained bhava. Crying, trembling, voice choking up. These can be imitated by any good actor or actress. That's what movies are all about. And then it says that this is a summary of course of this chapter. An imitative devotee sometimes exhibits signs of ecstasy or bhava, like crying, choked voice, trembling. But the genuine ecstatic symptoms are the private domain of advanced devotees with exclusive attachment to Krishna. Real ecstasy never appears in people that are attached to sense gratification or liberation. Emotions are sometimes displayed that resemble bhav. And he gives an explanation. He talks about pratibimba rati and abhas rati, which is a reflection. This is a reflective attitude. It's a semblance of bhav. Sometimes one takes up devotional service in association with advanced devotees, and he may experience symptoms resembling ecstasy because of the genuine ecstasy of an advanced devotee's reflecting in the mirror of his heart. That's called pratibimba, reflection. Then there's chaya rati abhas, shadow. Prabhupada calls it shadow attachment because chaya means shadow. Someone may perform devotional service due to curiosity and exhibit slight resemblance of ecstatic symptoms, especially when he joins kirtan, attends festivals, visits the holy dham, or in association with saintly devotees. It's reflective like a shadow on the ground. It's not intense. It only vaguely resembles the original object. Pratibimba, however, is more intensely reflects the bhav like a mirror image. So these are, then he has a discussion how to transform the semblance to real bhav. By the power of advanced devotees only, it can be done. If we serve these advanced devotees, one's imitative attachment can transform into genuine attachment. In other words, the only way to transform a rati abhas or a semblance of bhav into real bhav is to receive the mercy of pure devotee. Such mercy is attained by sincere seva and blocked by offenses if we offend devotee. Whatever attachment one has attained, real or imagined, will disappear if one offends a devotee. So now, how do we respond to faults in a devotee? This is all review of this chapter, because Rupa Goswami says, sometimes you see someone who has bhava, but they don't have good behavior, they have vaigunya, they misbehave, and it was a little bit hard to understand where they're coming from, where they stand. So then he says this, if a person on the platform of bhava appears to have faults, then how do we understand it? Though bhava has arisen in his heart, it's not yet completely destroyed all his sinful reactions. As I mentioned, it can be a fragrance of his sins. We should disregard the so-called faults in this bhava bhakta, knowing that soon the devotee will become completely perfect by the glorious force of his devotion. A few spots cannot check the spread of the full moonshine. Similarly, a small fault in an advanced devotee does not count when we compare all the devotion that he's service that he's rendered thus far. That's it. That's the summary of Bhava Bhakti. Now we're starting a new chapter. Prema Bhakti. And this is the fourth wave of the first division. Purva Vivag. This is Chaturthi Lahari. Fourth wave. So he begins by giving an outline of prema. As per the standard of Rupa Goswami, a very systematic analysis and presentation of all the aspects of sadhana, bhava, and prema. He starts off with four verses describing definition of prema, and by quoting different shastras. Then he talks about the causes of prema bhakti. Prema arising from vaidhi sadhana, prema arising from raganuga sadhana, and prema arising from Krishna's mercy. That's the prema that rises, he says, from the vaida bhav arising from vaidhi sadhana and the raganugiya bhav arising from raganuga sadhana. Then from Krishna's mercy. And then the stages leading to prema. So this is a discussion. So it begins in verse 1. This is the definition of prema. Samyan masrinita swanto mamatva tishayankita bhava sa eva sandratma bude prema nigadyate. Many similar words here that we find in definition of bhava. When bhava becomes extremely condensed, it is called prema by the learned. Such prema softens the heart completely and produces extreme possessiveness of the Lord and makes the devotee extremely attached to Sri Krishna. This is prema. When one's desire to love Krishna in one's particular relationship, sthayi bhav, becomes intensified, it is known as pure love of Godhead, Krishna prema. That's Prabhupada's definition. And simple definition is that prema consists exclusively of the desire for the happiness of one's beloved. That itself is something interesting to contemplate. Prema, what is prema? Prema consists exclusively of the desire for the happiness. There's no other desire than the happiness of the beloved. Love of Krishna, which is extremely concentrated, which completely melts the heart, and which gives rise to deep sense of mamata, or possessiveness in relationship to Krishna. That's very nice. And Vishwanath, he has a commentary here also. So this is he's describing the main quality of prema, surablakshana, that it's extremely deep state of bhava, very condensed. The sandratma. It's thick. It's like, bhava is like milk. You can say bhava is like milk and prema is like burfi. That's really different. Or you can say, sadhana is like milk and bhava is like kheer, like condensed milk, you know, thick milk. Then prema is like burfi. So obviously everyone starts mouth watering when we think about burfi. And that certainly should inspire us to taste the burfi. Now what is the very peculiar quality of prema, Krishna prema? One of the symptoms of prema, even when there obstacles are there and impediments are present, there's not the slightest reduction of affection. Ashlishava parvatam panashtamam. This is prema. And the Shikshastakam, Lord Chaitanya is saying, or Radharani is saying, okay, kick me away, trample me under your feet, ignore me, insult me, kiss someone else right in front of me, run away with another gopi right in front of me, run in the kunja with some other gopi, and before you go in the kunja, turn around and wave to me. You know, run in the kunja and turn around, Radha, bye. Make me burn. It doesn't matter. You can burn me, fry me, try me, break me, trample me, pierce me. Whatever you do, I'll not stop loving you. This is love. This is real. One feels a deep sense of attachment or possession, possessiveness in relation to Krishna, thinking Krishna is mine. So we see this word is there in the definition of bhava, and also in prema we say masrinya. It says samyan masrinita, masrinita, swanto. So it seems very similar, because bhava and prema are like sunrise and noonday sun, very similar. And we'll explain the differences between bhava and prema. Prema is ever-progressive divine ecstatic love and service for the exclusive satisfaction of each and every desire of Bhagavan Sri Krishna, which is completely and entirely different from mundane lust or calm. Ever-progressive divine ecstatic love and service for the exclusive satisfaction of each and every desire of Krishna. Now what's the difference between bhava and prema? Because we say that bhava, the heart becomes softened by three desires. Tense desire to serve the Lord, to attain the Lord, and to meet the Lord, be with the Lord. But although the heart is very soft in bhava, there's still some fragrance of materiality. Some material desires can be there, some fragrance, some notion. And in bad association, one could get, those desires could overtake one. Possible. But when one comes to the level of prema, then it says it completely softens the heart. Bhava softens the heart, and prema softens the heart completely and overwhelmingly. Bhava softens the heart by three desires and tastes. Desire to attain Krishna, desire to satisfy desire for the satisfaction of Krishna's desires in an agreeable way, and to meet with Krishna and make friendship with Krishna, to live with him. But prema, it softens the heart by extreme attachment and feelings of mindness for Krishna. So in bhava, we don't have the idea that Krishna is mine. That Krishna is mine. There's no question about it. And this was given the example in Bhava Bhakti. She was hedging on that. That Chandrakanti, who was the example of attaining bhav by the mercy of Radharani, she was hedging on this mood of mamata. And that's what's told in the purport. That she was dancing all night in front of her Krishnamurti, or deity of Krishna, thinking that I'm dancing better than the gopis. And she was thinking that Krishna has left Radharani and he's left all the gopis just to dance with me. I'm dancing so wonderfully. And Krishna is mine. So she had that sense of that, mamata. But she was considered to be the example of bhava. So bhava, that mamata only increased more and more and became full-blown mamata as a distinct quality. It's a distinct quality of prema, this is mamata, mamata bhav. That Krishna is mine, my Krishna. And we'll finish Vishnu's purport of this verse, and then we can, maybe not, it's quite long. We'll just finish this purport tomorrow. It's kind of long. More Vishnu's elaboration on this definition of prema, which is given here. Extremely condensed bhava. So bhava, like I said, there's a coin. You have a coin, heads and tails. It's all part and parcel of the same coin, up and down. So the coin of prema, the coin of pure love is one side bhava, one side prema. The bhava becomes prema if we do everything correctly, carefully. So that's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu.